This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Until the Gold Club opens.
Make it rain.
Vinny and Haiti.
Better grab an umbrella.
1057 The Fan.
Down throughout the roster, it's, kind of what we're driving for, you know? When we watch the Ravens or watch our team, we hope to be looking in the mirror. That's how much respect we have for the Baltimore Ravens. It's respect, it's love, and nobody could have a better brother than I do. I mean, nobody has it better than have a brother like John Harbaugh. He is he's the toughest competitor I know, and he just really pulls it out of you. Watching the tape of the Ravens team, you know, I followed closely for years, but really diving into it, you know, down after down, play after play. I mean, the toughness, the physicality, the execution, it's just so tight. Everything is just, so tight with this football team. And you see them, the improvements that they make, the secondary, the pass rush, the way they split the double team, it's just one technique after another. And you see how well coached they are. I mean, it's off the charts, and the talent that they have.
All right, that's Jim Harbaugh, because the confusion will start to set in over the next few days as it's the Harbaugh. So that's Jim, coach of the Chargers. Michigan, former Ravens quarterback, which people forget. And let's make it all about Bob Haney for a second. The first two games ever played at M&T Bank Stadium that mattered. Preseason against the Bears, and then regular season against the Steelers, 1998. The Bobster was there. And guess who the quarterback was? Jim Harbaugh. Now, it didn't last long. It is what it is, but that's him on the Rich Eisen show talking about the Ravens, the matchup with his brother, John, and the anticipation for it. They met in Super Bowls, 47, won by the Ravens. This is 12 years later. And as they're sitting around at Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever holiday function they enjoy, they could always talk about the war stories. Coming up Monday night, out in L.A., this is a huge game for both teams. Chargers have won 4 in a row, 5 of 6. Ravens coming off a loss at Pittsburgh. All 4 of their losses are conference games. But yet, somehow the Ravens are 3-point favorites in this matchup. So this is a big game between the Harbaughs for two teams with high playoff hopes. Ravens lose one game. The sky is falling. And the Chargers start getting hot. All of a sudden, watch out for them. They're a scary team. I think the sky is falling with the Ravens. Probably not reality. Disappointing loss to Pittsburgh, sure. Yeah. But they're not going to circle the drain and all of that. But for the Chargers, I think they are, Vinny, in fact, a scary team as we head into the final week before Thanksgiving here.
Yeah, and you know what I was looking at, Bob? I mean, because we heard Jim talk about, you know, how he likes the Ravens organization, blah, blah, blah. So I was just kind of looking at the coaching staff. Like Andy Bischoff, he was he's the Chargers run game coordinator. He spent 6 seasons with the Ravens. He left in 2020. That's one. And then Shane Day was not. Mike Devlin, their O-line coach. He was assistant O-line coach for the Ravens.
Yeah, that name sounds familiar. Yeah. Okay.
So there's another one. And then we have Rick Minter. Wasn't Rick with the Ravens? His son, the D coordinator, was.
I remember Alan Minter got his ass whipped by Marvin Hagler in the championship.
And, well, the GM was the Ravens guy, you know. So, Greg Roman, Jesse Minter, all Ravens. So, I mean, there's a lot of Mark Trestman,
yeah.
Raven. So, I mean, there's a lot of ties between the two organizations. I mean, when Jim got the job and he...
Well, Joe Ortiz is the GM.
Yeah. So, when Jim got the job, Jim hired the GM and he brought in Joe Ortiz from the Ravens. So, there's a lot... So, do they want to be like the Ravens? In a lot of ways, yes.
Also, the talent on the field.
Yeah.
Bradley Bozeman. Too. Your two running backs. Hayden Hurst hadn't been much of a factor, been kind of banged up there, but there's a Ravens element to that offense as well, and an offense that, and we'll get into the stats on Friday,
yep.
But offensively they were, okay, it's everything's all right, we're acceptable. Now
right.
They're starting to, I mean, they won a shootout with Cincinnati, which only the Ravens and Chiefs have done so far. So they were matching the Bengals point for point. It kind of blew a big lead
yeah.
in doing so, but still.
Well, that's similar to the Ravens.
Yeah, they were matching points there.
No yeah, doubt. And the thing that, Bob, I mean, Herbert's got 13 touchdowns, one pick. They don't turn the ball over. That's the biggest thing. They're a plus nine. So, I mean, they're playing smart, and they're not turning the ball over. That's a big thing for them. And they're playing pretty good defense. They don't give up a lot of points. They're number one, Bob, in giving up points. And the other thing, they're real good in two stats. Defensively, third downs and points allowed. Those are where they're really good.
So it's a matchup of Harbaughs, which is great, and it leads to the intrigue. Probably a main reason why this game's on Monday Night Football to begin with. It was, Bill Johnson against, Shemp Smith. It's probably 1 o'clock on a Sunday or 4:30 out in LA because that's where they're playing. The Harbaugh intrigue is why. It's on Monday night because that's why they scheduled it months ago. The fact that it's an important game with playoff seeding on the line, ESPN's loving every minute of this, man.
Now, which team can afford a loss more, Bob?
I would guess the Chargers.
That's what I was thinking, too.
I mean, Ravens lose, they're 7-5.
And if the Steelers
five
win...
Five conference losses.
Right, but if the Steelers win Thursday, then the Ravens go down 2.5 games.
Yeah, and then you have Philly coming back here on a two-game losing streak, which is no guarantee whatsoever. But the odds makers still feel as though the Ravens are capable. That's why they're 3-point favorites. Nolan, what do you think? Who can afford a loss more? Neither wants to lose, especially in late November, but... If someone's going to take the L, who's going to be affected more long-term here?
Right. Your instinct is to say that the Chargers could stomach a loss a little bit more, but maybe we're biased here because we don't want to see the Ravens lose another one. You mentioned the conference factor, but from the Chargers' perspective, I mean, if they want to stay competitive in that division, their margin for error is very low.
Because Denver keeps winning.
And the Chiefs just lost their first game, but I think we all expect them to get back on track and potentially go on another run and certainly be in that conversation for the top seed. So from the Chargers' perspective, certainly not a game they're willing to give away either.
For the Chargers, Ravens, of course. Then they go to Atlanta. Who's been sucking lately. Then they go to Kansas City, and who knows, that could be a huge game with AFC West ramifications. Then they host Tampa, who's playing for stuff. Either Tampa's charging towards a wild card or maybe even winning the division in the NFC South, or they're playing out the string. So it's not going to be an easy road for the Chargers here, but 7-4 becomes 7-5. 7-3 becomes 7-4. I mean, I'm not exactly Einstein over here, but you get the point.
I think what you said either this week or last week or the which game was going to come back to haunt them, Bob? The Raiders game?
Two of them, Raiders
and Cleveland.
Yeah,
those two games are definitely going to come. Because it's, Bob, it's two teams that have won two games, and one of their wins is against the Ravens.
Yeah. And two quarterbacks who have been benched, Ravens, Chargers, then they host Philly, as we said, next Sunday, the 1st, then a bye, which is coming at a perfect time, it seems, then the Giants there, but come on, if they're favored at, Pittsburgh and the Chargers, they'll probably be 10-point favorites at the Giants.
Oh, at least.
Unless they lose their next two games.
With Tommy DeVito.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take an extra large cheese with everything, minus the cheese and everything. Ever heard that skit, Howard Stern? Anyway, so it's a big game. You want to get in. You're concerned with the Ravens. I don't think it's unfair to be such. You're 7-4. You've lost four conference games. Tie-breaking scenarios are going to go away from you unless you just went out and Pittsburgh starts losing games. You managed to win your division. But we said it Monday, said it yesterday. We're going to obviously repeat it today. The road to the Super Bowl, in all likelihood, guys and ladies listening, is not going through M&T Bank Stadium.
I don't think so. I don't think so. And Bob, I think Pittsburgh's going to they're going to lose some games. They may lose three more games.
It's a tough stretch for them.
Yeah, I mean,
it's all division. Well, they're only nine.
Well, they got to spank Cleveland like the Ravens didn't coming up Thursday night.
That's a big rival. That's a big game for them. And coming off
short week,
emotional week. Physical game.
I'll probably pick Pittsburgh, but yeah, certainly not a
cakewalk. I'll tell you right now, I'm taking Cleveland.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Pittsburgh puffy pantses them, to be totally honest with you.
I don't. Well, I got to see if, because Garrett didn't practice yesterday. If Garrett doesn't play, then I'm definitely taking.
Well, let me ask this. It's John Harbaugh got the vote of negativity yesterday. Mike Tomlin loses at Cleveland coming off a win against the Ravens. Are people in Pittsburgh going to want him fired? This guy won a playoff game in how many years?
Depends how they lose.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, what they'll say is, I think because they probably like what's going on, they'll probably say, because it was a tough game with the Ravens.
Make up excuses.
Yeah.
Harbaugh gets no excuses.
Nope.
Not defending him, but we'll see. It seems as though Baltimore fans like Tomlin more than some Steelers fans, though. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Like the fans of the teams, they actually coach and run, hate, dislike, but from afar, you want something that isn't yours. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We have a busy show today. Terps blowout Canisius. We'll talk to Damon Evans. Not necessarily about that win. We're seven players in double figures as they feast on the Golden Griffs. They got Villanova coming up on Sunday. We'll see how they bounce back. Villanova's not Villanova. They're 3-3 this year. They won convincingly last night. However, so we'll talk to Damon about the Iowa game Saturday, which is the last home game of the season. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens. Where are we going, defense or offense?
Let's start with D.
We'll go defense
first. That was the best.
All right, then we'll get to the offense, because that's where the problems arose. So stay tuned for that. You want to join us, you can at SportsTech 583-1057. Woman Crush Wednesday. Burns and Santander both declined the qualifying offer. No surprise there. So they officially hit free agency. Now the Orioles wait to see if they could sign one or both. If they sign both, I'd be floored. Matter of fact, I would be absolutely stunned if they signed both. Quite frankly, if they signed Corbin Burns, I'd be completely blown away. But either way, you get the point. We got all that coming your way here on The Fan. It's Vinny and Haney. Let's get out to the phone. Terps win last night and win handily, as a matter of fact. You know how out of sorts we are, Nolan? I don't even have my phone bank pulled up yet. So let's get out to the phones, and you bring up the first caller, and that would be Rashawn. Rashawn, what's up?
Good morning, fellas. You know, it's always a pleasure to be number one, man. You know,
that's right.
Always, man. You know, Cuban running around talking about he been the first caller more than anybody and all this other stuff, man.
We haven't heard from Q in quite some time.
Yeah, what's the Jets record? That's why, you know. Yeah, right. That's why. You know, then they just fired the whole staff, but they fired the GM, right?
Yeah.
And then they fired the coach a couple
of
weeks
ago. Reading this morning on the interweb that looks like Aaron Rodgers won't be back either if they're cleaning house.
I'm not surprised. That was only a two-year deal anyway, right? Or three?
No, he's got another year left.
Yeah.
Oh, really? He needs to go somewhere back in the cave where he belongs.
Well, look, he's a ayahuasca enthusiast, which is all very touching, and that's his business, of course. But he hadn't been good in about 3 years. Remember his last year in Green Bay? He wasn't all that great either.
Yeah, he's overrated, man.
He's old. He's done.
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl only because he had a great coach and Mike McCarthy back in the day, you know. So that was more of a Mike McCarthy thing.
Okay, I'll let you have that one.
Hey, but listen, man, before I get to the olds, right, real quick with the Ravens, I'm kind of nervous, man, because what if you're looking at the schedule and looking at the teams that's in the wild card hunt, I think we have a harder schedule. So what if it comes down to that week 17-18 game against the Browns, right, and we have to win to get in, and say somehow, some way we lose, and we don't make the playoffs, man. Who gets fired? Somebody got to get fired. Is it Todd Monken first or what? Or Eric lets John go, or John has a longer leash. What do you think?
I think I don't even like to get into those scenarios. Number one, I don't see him losing to Cleveland, and that's a long ways away yet, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, hypothetically, if it happens, I know. But, you know, the city and the fans, we're going to be calling for somebody here, you know, but they already calling for Harbaugh here. And if we miss the playoffs with this type of offense we got, some type of head's got to roll, you know. That's all I'm saying. But hopefully, like I said, I won't get to that. I'm just thinking worst-case scenario. But, hey, real quick to the Orioles, right? You know, since they said they all in, they got all this money, they want to spend money. You think they can get to spend all this money on these pitchers? Like, say can we get a Blake Snell for, like, 4 years, 120, and Max, what's that, Max Fred?
Max Fried from Atlanta.
Max Fried, yeah. Max Fried.
I don't know.
6 years, 160, right, for him, and spend 4 years, 120 for Blake Snell. If we all in, right, we got all this money, and our owner's not being cheap.
Well, all in, you have to put it in perspective. All in based on the previous regime, or all in based on what the Dodgers can spend. And they're obviously not into that territory just yet. They're going to be more aggressive. Maybe they swing a deal or two to help whatever needs need to be filled here. But all in, they'll spend more money this offseason than they've spent since Elias has been the GM. How about I walk that fence right there?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't care how much they spent. My beer's still $18, as I've said it 1,000 times. My cable bill's still $325. None of this really affects me from what I'm kicking out of pocket. So let's go all in. You're all in. Let's do it.
All in. I just don't want to settle for a Jack Flaherty, you know, and be like, oh, Jack Flaherty and Jordan Montgomery, you know, and that type of all-in.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm kind of with you on that one. I'd rather have Flaherty, by the way. But that's just
I would too. But
all right, Rashawn.
All right, have a good one.
All right, see ya. Orioles, of course, qualifying offers declined by Corbin Burns, Anthony Santander. No surprise there. Question is, where do they wind up? How aggressive the Orioles are going to be in trying to keep them around? At the very least, you get draft picks as compensation for them, because next year it's a huge offseason for Mike Elias, because the Orioles are good and potentially could be really good like they were in the first half of 2024. Now you got to level up. Playoffs no longer acceptable, just getting there. It's like the Ravens. I mean, you want to fire coaches all of a sudden after one loss in Pittsburgh. Let's go to Ed and Arbutus. Ed, what's up?
Bob, Vinny, good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Got a little bit today, Bob. Place kicking to encourage teaching at grassroots level, age 11 until high school. The extra point kick is worth 2 points. 1 point if you run or pass it. To teach it, select 6 players for a 3-man operation, because you always have to have capable backups. Take these guys away from the team practice to the game field, end zone, and goalposts, and place the football on a 3-yard line. Teach the snappers how to throw a perfect spiral 7-yard pass upside down through their legs until routinely correct. The next thing, the two holders select guys with good hands to smoothly catch and place on a kicking block, which is allowed, but not in college or the pros. Next, select 2 kicker prospects to create competition and allow them preference of soccer style or straight on without helmets for emphasis. Pull their jersey front up and have them clench it in their teeth. Done so to ensure head and eyes are fixed to the contact point, a foot meeting ball. Then add the helmets until entire process is routinely accurate, dead center over the crossbar at that age group at 20 yards. If a bobble occurs, don't give up on the play. Yell fire loud for your ends to release to the end zone and throw it. Grassroots level, that's all you need to know. High school varsity, you introduce field goals. Reasonable max yard line to attempt the 20 for a 37-yarder. To the pros, Ravens. Outdoors, probably need maximum success attempt line to reach. Let's say the 35 plus 17 for a 52-yarder. That's the coach's choice, as the situation presents itself now. My point today, the three-man long ingrained operation doesn't get fundamentally lost overnight. There's no one at fault. If you're not injured, an inconsistency makes no sense. It could be fatigue, or a football in flight is less weight outdoors than the crosswinds. If you're not punching it with maximum velocity force to stay straight longer, it's going to drift. Hopefully not aging process eventuality occurring, but baseball pitchers will lose their fastball. That's it, gentlemen. Thank you.
All right, Ed Narbutis breaking out of the Ravens kicking woes, and I guess they are woes, as Justin Tucker converting on 72% of his kicks with his lifetime conversion rate is over 90%. We'll get back to the Ravens and your phone calls at 410-583-1057. But when we come back, Athletic Director, University of Maryland, talk about the Terps' win last night. But looking ahead to Villanova, the Big Ten schedule, in this balanced offense that Kevin Willard has in year three, you're assimilating new players into the program. And Kevin Willard, according to Chris Nockey, Walt Williams, so far so good there. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Maryland hoops last night. Men win big. Seven players of double figures. So far, so good. You got the women's team ranked highly, and rightfully so. You got men's soccer doing some great things. And you got the final home football game of the season coming up this weekend. So it's a busy time for our next guest. Joins us every Wednesday, Athletic Director, University of Maryland, Damon Evans. Damon, good morning. What's up?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Doing all right. We'll start with Kevin Willard's hoops crew. 4-1 on the year. Yeah, frustrating loss to Marquette this past Friday, but a spirited game, no doubt about it. Derek Queen showing off in front of a top 15 team. By the way, Marquette beat Purdue handily last night. Crowd was out of control, Damon. So when we talk about Maryland lineage basketball-wise, and we get into it, you and I, when we get on here during basketball season, did we kind of get a glimpse of what the sleeping giant that Maryland hoops is and can be?
Well, there's a lot of basketball left to be played. I like what I've seen so far. Obviously, don't like losing to Marquette. I don't believe in moral victories, but I like the way that we fought. I like the way that we played. I think we understand that Marquette is a very, very good basketball team. They can space the floor. All of their players can shoot from the outside. They've got a good coach. And we had a chance there at the end of the game. Our kids kept fighting, and we saw a great performance by Derek Queen, Jacoby Gillespie, and we had other players that stepped up. Rodney Rice continues to do some really good things for us as well. So I like the pieces that we've added. I feel good about the opportunities ahead of us, and we just got to continue to build from here. And we had a good win last night, but this game against Villanova is significant as we continue to try to pad our resume and move forward.
Yeah, neutral site game, New Jersey, or Brooklyn, rather, coming up against Villanova 1 o'clock on Sunday. But seven players in double figures. And as we look for what the strength, Damon, of this team could be, the balanced scoring at least sticks out a little bit early. I mean, yeah, you'd like to have the one stud that just carries the team on his shoulders like Jameer Young did the last couple of years. But is it more beneficial to have a bunch of dudes that could beat you as opposed to just staring at one guy? And as Duke Vitale used to say, Kodak, man, just watching him do what he had to do and take pictures of it.
I'll take a balanced scoring team, because when you just have one person, if that individual's off that night, then you're looking around to see who could pick up the slack. What we know is right now is that we have several guys that can score the basketball. I think we've got some guys who can shoot the three better. When you take a look at Jacoby and how he's shooting the three, and when you take a look at Rodney Rice, how he shoots the three ball, and then let's not forget that Derek Queen has been dynamic. His basketball IQ, his ability to pass and the score of the basketball. You got Selton Miguel, who's done some really, really good things for us. And I'll tell you, there's a guy that's going to come along that I think is going to be a really good player for us, and that's Malachi Palmer. So, you know, as we continue to to move forward. I like how we have balanced scoring, and you still got Juju Reese who's there for us, so I like our opportunity because of the balanced scoring.
You mentioned Villanova coming up this weekend. Syracuse looms as well. Maybe not the programs they were when they were winning national championships, but the Big Ten, it's interesting. But as we said, Purdue lost to Marquette. That Cam Jones is a stud, by the way, Damon, as you saw Friday night. How are things kind of situated for Kevin Willard moving into eventually conference play here?
You know what? I think what Kevin has done a good job of is mixing in his lineups and trying to figure out who plays well together. Because knowing when we get to that Big Ten schedule, it's going to be tough. Obviously, I watched a little bit of the Marquette-Purdue game last night because I was interested to see how Purdue would match up with Marquette. And you try to compare, okay, how did we look against Marquette in comparison to Purdue? Every game's different, but it gives you a little bit of a reference. So the Big Ten is challenging. I think we're going to be prepared for it more so this year with the type of team that we have. So I'm excited, but right now I'm just going to think about the one game in front of us, and that's Villanova, and we need to take care of business.
Hey, Damon, as the athletic director, when you look at the football program right now, what do you see?
You know, I right now this is by no means where I thought we would be, by no means where I want us to be, and I understand the frustration and the disappointment that our fan base has, because we're frustrated and disappointed too. So I want everyone to know that. But this team continues to fight. We've lost some games that I think that a lot of people, including myself, did not think we would lose this year. And we lost them in not so good a fashion. But we got to continue to figure this out. We've got to come up with some solutions. I know people are saying in their minds this year, in some people's minds, may be over. I just want our team to come out and continue to fight hard, and then we've got to fix the things that continue to ail us. And I'm not going to give up on this team and this program and our coaches, because my job right now is to help them figure out what we've got to do to get this thing where we want it to be, and I'm committed to doing that.
Have you seen, like, the development? Normally, good football teams get better as the season goes along and they're playing their best football at the end of the season. Why not the Terps?
And that's something that we've got to take a hard look at. Believe me, I sit here and I've been watching it, and I said the same thing. Why haven't we actually gotten better as the year has progressed? And we've got to go back, and we've really got to evaluate that. There's some things that I think that we all see. I don't want to say anything definitively yet, because you have to take a hard look at it. But obviously, you can't make some of the mistakes that we've made. We're not a program that can turn the ball over. We're not a program that can have penalties. Those are the same things that we've been talking about for quite some time. And I know our fans are tired of hearing it. I know they're frustrated by it. But those things have got to be fixed just to give ourselves an opportunity to compete in this Big Ten. And then we also have to look at some other things as well. That's what you do when things aren't going well. You have to evaluate yourself. You have to take a hard look in the mirror and say, what am I missing? What are we missing? And what are we going to do to fix this? But before you say we're going to fix it, you have to identify what the problems are. And we've got to really take a hard look at ourselves, identify those problems, and come up with a concrete plan.
Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Damon, outside of football and men's basketball, a lot going on in College Park, like the Lady Terps, ranked highly and rightfully so. And then Sasha's got that soccer team doing some great things as usual.
Well, women's basketball is ranked number 11 in the country, off to a great start at 5-0. I like the fact that Brenda and her squad were able to go out and beat a very, very good Duke basketball team. But what I was looking at after that victory was, could we follow it up and take care of business against Syracuse at Syracuse? And we did. So that tells you a lot about this team. This team has a lot of pieces, you guys. What Brenda did in the portal and what she brought in, this is a well-balanced team with people who can score it, people who can defend, people who can shoot it. I'm excited to see what the future holds this year for this basketball team. And you mentioned soccer. We had a tough go of it at the end of the year, but again, we're in the NCAA tournament. Tomorrow we'll start off that tournament with hosting LIU at Ludwig Field at 7 o'clock. So this is the 23rd time in 24 years that we made the NCAA tournament. That's a hell of a streak, and proud of Sasho and what he's done. Wrestling's off to 3-0 start. So I want to give a shout-out, though, to a young lady by the name of Rose Coates of our cross-country team. She qualified for the NCAA championships, thus she will be competing this Saturday at Wisconsin in the NCAA championships. And she's our first NCAA qualifier since 2018 in cross country. So really excited about her, and just got to keep grinding, you guys. Want to keep making sure that we do the things that are necessary to be successful.
David Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. Who we jamming to today, Damon?
Give me a little bit of Mary J. Blige. Strength of a Woman. Mary J. Blige, Strength of a Woman.
Damon, always a great selection. Great talking to you. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday. Good luck this weekend in all sports.
Thanks, Damon.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Damon Evans, everybody. It's Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, reset for you. When we return, we'll take some of your phone calls as well. We got Vinny's film study of the Ravens' defense. Much maligned this year, and rightfully so, but they held their end of the bargain, I guess, against the Steelers. They did keep them out of the end zone. Whip around 11:15. Tons going on in the world of sports. Want to turn it up Tuesday. And then notes from the North. We're going to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. At 3-3, Villanova's lost to Virginia. They've lost to Columbia. They lost to St. Joe. They blew out Penn last night. But, you know, it's not the Jay Wright Final Four every year, Villanova Wildcats. But they beat Maryland last year. It's a different Maryland team. However, Maryland football, though, now 6.5-point dogs at home against Iowa. And they're going to be, let's be honest. And I'm a Maryland fan. I watch Randy White play for Maryland. 50 years watching these guys. Season ticket holder for 13 years. They're going to be like 20-point underdogs at Penn State in 2 weeks.
Well, if they lose by like 20 or more to Iowa, Bob, they may be. And if Penn State goes up and takes care of business against Minnesota, at least 20.
Yeah, and we'll get into the college football playoff rankings as the show goes on, which came out last night. BYU plummeted out of the top 12. That matter of fact, 14 in the rankings, but says they're projected to win the Big 12. They would get into the playoffs, but last week they had a bye, which now belongs to Boise State. So stay tuned for all of that. Ravens are 3-point favorites at the Chargers. I mean, are the Ravens appropriate favorites here? It's 2 weeks in a row. They go on the road against a team with a better record than them, and yet they're still favored to win. Ravens are 3-3 on the road. Hey, I hope they win. I don't know if I'd be betting on him, to be totally honest with you. Let's go to PT in Towson. PT, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I agree with you on the Ravens, and this is the reason why. The last 8 Steeler opponents have lost their following game, and we'd all agree that Steeler-Raven game is really a physical contest, and then we got to fly out west. So that spread, to me, it's just confusing.
Yep.
Well, you got an extra day, too. And the Steelers. Yeah. How about the Steelers? I mean, what? The Steelers got to play in 3 days. How would that be?
Right. No, I agree with what you guys were saying earlier. If Cleveland brings all their players, I think that's a surprise waiting to happen for, you know, on the Pittsburgh side losing. But real quick on the Villanova thing, because I think everybody's sleeping on this. The 3 teams that Nova has lost to are a combined 11-1. Also, the 2 best players on the court are probably going to be Eric Dixon and Wuga. So, I mean, I think we agree that Neptune can't really, he's not a coach, but the guy can recruit. There's a lot of talent on Villanova. They don't have a bench, but there are 6 guys that are going to play are really talented guys. So if that spreads like 8 or 9 at a neutral court, man, I think if Maryland doesn't come out ready to play, they're going to lose to Nova.
Well, I would hope they'd be ready to play. It's a neutral site up in Brooklyn. They were ready against Marquette, just couldn't close the deal in the second half. And you mentioned Dixon, what, 25 points, 8 rebounds, whatever it is. I mean, he's a stud. I mean, Cam Jones is a one-man gang. He had a triple-double last night. First triple-double for Marquette since Dwayne Wade did it in the 2003 NCAA tournament. I'm guessing Maryland will be prepared. Does Villanova, to your point, PT, maybe have the best player on the floor? Perhaps, but I still think Maryland right now is the better team. I mean, we'll find out 1 o'clock Sunday.
Absolutely. I definitely agree they're the better team. It's just been a tough run because their opponents have been so lousy, except for the one team that was really good.
Right. Well, everybody was feasting last night. I mean, Florida beat Florida A&M. Kentucky beat Winthrop. I've never heard of the school UConn beat last night. You get it. You play these kids. John Thompson used to feast on teams like this heading into the Big East schedule. So this is not a new thing. They don't play exhibitions anymore, so they play the money games. And if you start losing the money games, then you start questioning things.
Yeah, it's a huge game for Willard Sunday, and I just hope they're ready to show out.
All right, hey, APT.
Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for the call. Good points as always, PT. Let's go to Daryl in Baltimore. Daryl, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, how you guys are doing?
All right.
Hey, man, I just want to make 3 points. All right. Number one, you guys talking about getting rid of Hoss. Man, I think that would be a big mistake, man. And then Rex Ryan doing a whole lot of talking. What did he do with the Jets? When he coached the Jets?
What did he do with Buffalo?
Well, he went to two AFC championship games with the Jets.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, two games. But and the next thing is this. I think the offense this year is okay, but the two running backs that we got rid of.
Dobbins and Edwards?
You know, Gus and the running back for the Chargers.
Edwards and Dobbins.
Yeah. So, they should have kept them, man. And if they would have got Derrick Henry, they'd be probably outstanding. And the third thing is this. The defense that we had last year was awesome, man. We should have kept that defense, man. It's like we just get rid of people, and it's like, I don't know, man. It's like it seems like we just can't get over the hump right now with the defense, man. You talk about getting rid of coaches, get rid of the defensive coach. What's his name? Or let him go, man. Let it go.
All right, Daryl, thank you very much.
Gus Bus is averaging 3.6.
Well, if they would have kept Dobbins and Edwards, Derrick Henry wouldn't be here right now.
No. And Keaton Mitchell was better than Dobbins or Edwards last year.
He was the featured back until he got hurt at the end of the season. And Derrick Henry's an all-pro this season. He's having a monster year on, possibly could get to 2,000 yards or at the very least start sniffing it. Keep Harbaugh, all right? I'm not against that at all. I mean, you always be careful what you wish for, as the old saying goes. But Clowney went for money. Right.
Clowney went because it's where his family is. So, yeah.
The Ravens obviously weren't willing to match that kind of dough.
Yeah, they were a little worried about his knees.
And the thing, Zach Orr, we've addressed this and we'll do it again, I'm sure, 1,000 times, unless Zach Orr turns things around Rex Ryan style. The guys that left, Weaver and Denard Wilson, they were replaced with bypass for Zach Orr, and that's, you can question that based on the statistical performance, but we'll get to the defense film, and they played well Sunday. But that's, to me, Patrick Queen went because they had already signed Roquan Smith. We've been down this road before.
Mm-hmm.
You lost coaches and didn't replace them with a lot of veteran experience, right?
To that point, Bob, your secondary coach is a guy that hadn't coached in NFL before, and who's playing terribly? Secondary.
Right.
All right. Your linebacker coach came from college, and which group is not playing as well? Linebackers.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, it kind of goes. But I'll say this. I thought Roquan Smith, Bob, this last game, he was Roquan Smith.
Ravens back at practice today. It's open locker room, so get some intel from Cordell and all of the people that cover the team later on. John Harbaugh meets with the media tomorrow. They play Monday night, so things are just pushed back a day here. But if you want to get in, you can. It's SportsNet 583-1057. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense. They've been getting ripped. They've been sucking at times. We thought they rock bottom against Cincinnati, but they bounced back against Pittsburgh, even though it was in a loss. Did we see enough to hold out hope for the future at the end of 24?